Bolivia in the clouds. Risking it all on Al Jazeera.
Injustice, for me, is the driving force of why I do this, to show people what it's like to live in places where injustice isn't something you read in the news, it's something that happens to you every single day. Whether it's a war or a natural disaster, whether it's political corruption, making sure that they understand in a simple language is absolutely crucial. The city's already 50% evacuated. Most of those people actually left in the early days of the war. I couldn't do this job without the best cameramen, best producers, the best fixers, and those are the people that I rely on in order to be able to get that message out to the world.
Voting is underway in the US presidential election in what's described as a race that's too close to call. I'm Sami Zeidan. This is Al Jazeera live from Doha. Also coming up,
I certainly don't want any violence, but I certainly don't have to tell. These are great people.
Republican candidate Donald Trump has cast his ballot in Florida after promising to lead America to new heights of glory. Kamala Harris has already voted by mail-in ballot. At a star-studded rally, she urged people to go to the polls, saying every vote counts. Shake-up in the Israeli government. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant fired by the Prime Minister. That's as Israeli attacks continue across Gaza, killing at least 61 people on Tuesday. Voting is well underway in the US as Americans will decide who will be their next president. They'll choose whether to send Donald Trump back to the White House or make history by electing the country's first woman president. Polls in all seven swing states have opened as voters cast their ballots. As we've been reporting, because of the Electoral College, these are the states to watch: Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada, where voters are casting their ballots. More than 240 million Americans are eligible to vote. About 82 million voted before Election Day. Well, in the last few hours, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump voted in the state of Florida.
I mean, I'm just hearing that in certain states, it's going to be a long time, and it won't even be close. It won't even be that close. They say, I'm going to win the state, but it's going to take a long time to certify it. On the assumption I win, I mean, I don't know if something else happens. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of declaring victory. But if in normal times I would go over to the convention center, let's say at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or something, but I just don't know. It looks like we have a very substantial lead.
We have a team of correspondents in battleground states following the election. John Holman is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Rob Reynolds is in Tempe, Arizona. We'll speak to them in just a few minutes. But first, a look at how Election Day in the U.S. is unfolding. Phil Lavelle is in the critical state of North Carolina, where voters have set a new record. More than half have already cast their ballot.
It is 6:30. The polls are open. Voting is at 7:30 tonight.
Even before it was light, they were waiting to have their say. Polling stations across the East Coast, the first on the U.S. mainland to open their doors. Long lines in some locations, a small trickle in others, and all with one key mission: to get their candidate to the White House.
It's very, very simple. It has nothing to do with issues. It has good versus evil. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. And the United States is far behind a lot of countries in terms of electing a woman president, and it's time.
It's important for him to get back in office, for me, to secure our borders, to help our economy, to get back to where we were.
Republicans have shown up in force.
Republican candidate Donald Trump cast his ballot in his home state of Florida. His opponent, Democrat Kamala Harris, voted early. In Pennsylvania, the battleground state seen as the one to win, hundreds of voters turned out. Donald Trump won it in 2016. Joe Biden wrestled it back just about in 2020. Now Trump and Harris are in a dead heat.
Absolutely most important election of my lifetime, so I definitely wouldn't miss this. So much on the line here, a lot of consequences from this election.
Battleground Georgia, the site of a lawsuit over the 2020 results, saw eager lines. And Arizona, another battleground state that saw its 2020 result in the courts, also seeing big turnout. Donald Trump was furious that the Democrats won this by a tiny margin, a state on the border, impacted by immigration, one of his key selling points. Will this drive voters to the polls to support him?
And so, just as we see two starkly different political candidates, we see two starkly different images at polling stations. Some places, long lines. Here in North Carolina, very short lines, if any, because this place broke its early voting record. More than half the state has voted already. No matter where voters live, though, in this country, the one thing that they all have in common is none of them know how this is all going to turn out in the end. Phil Lavelle, Al Jazeera, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, let's head to Nevada now, one of the important battleground states in the vote. John Ullman is there, joins us from Las Vegas. So the state still up in the air as we try to read where those nonpartisan voters are going?
Yeah, it definitely is. And actually, I was just talking to the Secretary of State for Nevada, and we were talking about the fact that those nonpartisan voters, it's not that they registered, they're automatically super motivated to decide whether to cast for one candidate or the other. That what happened in this state is that it's automatic when you go for a driving license, you get registered as a voter, and the default option is nonpartisan. So he was saying to me, yeah, it's really up for either candidate to have gone out and tried to get those voters on board. Most of them, he said, will tend to be young just because they're people going for their driving license for the first time, presumably. And it's up to the candidates to try and get them. Remember that in Nevada, there's 6 electoral college votes up for grabs. That's the least of any of the 7 swing states. So this is going to be crucial, this state. Only if there's no clear path to victory, it's getting later in the evening because polls here close later than some of the other swing states, and they're just looking for that handful of electoral college votes to get over the line, and that's when Nevada might come into play.
And to get it into play, the candidates have to appeal to the economy and the concerns of voters about the performance of the economy, right?
Yep, Sammy, that's the top issue here, be it wherever people are, whether they're in the rural parts of the state that tend to vote more red Republican, or here in Las Vegas, usually it tends more Democrat blue. Everyone's worried about the economy. They're worried about the cost of living, of prices going up. We were speaking to one man at a gas station that said everything's just skyrocketed and I just have to make choices. Am I going to take my children out this weekend? Can I really afford to do that? Another woman was talking about to us about having just to leave a car sometimes by the side of the road because she doesn't have enough money to get the gas to get her where she needs to go. Another thing here linked to that is house prices. Shortage of affordable housing means the prices, partly because of that, prices have gone up in this state. A lot of people, especially low-income residents, 70% of them are on the danger line. They're spending 30% of their income or more on the rent, meaning they haven't got money for other things. So these are really bread and butter issues for the people that live in Nevada. It might be home to Las Vegas, where tourism dollars come rolling in, but a lot of people are struggling.
Good stuff there. Thanks so much to John Holman. Let's head over to Rob Reynolds now. He's live for us from Tempe in Arizona. And Rob, it's not only a swing state, it's a bellwether state. I think 8 out of the last 12 winners of the White House won Arizona, which makes it, what, a very important tea leaf in the cup of those election forecasters, right?
Yes, that's right, Sammy. It's exactly true. The state was won, as our viewers may recall, by Joe Biden by a very, very razor-thin margin of a little more than 10,000 votes back in 2020. I've heard both Arizona voters and pollsters and analysts describe this state as having a kind of independent-minded ethos. They don't like to be necessarily pigeonholed or march rank and file to the tune of one party or another. It's diverse in its set of opinions, and that's why Arizona is, as you said, kind of a bellwether. In fact, a third or more of all Arizona voters register as independents. But the issues here are the same as they are everywhere else around the country. The economy, issues of reproductive freedom and the right to abortion, and, of course, immigration, since this is a border state. Now, we're here at ASU, Arizona State University. You can see behind me a long line of young people lining up to vote in this election. And I'd like to introduce you right now to Antonio Aragon. Antonio, thank you very much for being with us. Come a little closer. That's perfect. All right. Thank you, sir. You were telling me earlier that since you're 18 now and you're eligible to vote, but for your whole life, you've been grappling with this issue of the rhetoric around immigration. How has that affected you?
I remember when I was in fifth grade, Trump had started his campaign to run for office as president. And I remember the rhetoric that was used was a lot of deportation of Mexicans, just Latinos in general. And I remember the way that made me feel when I was younger. I didn't understand it. All I heard was Mexican and deportation, and it made me fearful. I remember when I was young, I talked to my friends about it, and I was afraid I'd get deported even though I was born here. And I think just the use of the rhetoric rather is just hateful. It's hateful. And it doesn't bring hope to the country. It just spreads the hate.
When you hear about the candidate, former President Trump, talking about mass deportations of millions of undocumented migrants, many of whom are from Latin American countries, how does that make you feel?
I think he does a lot of speaking on the economy of the country and deporting the hard workers that are Mexican, Latino, like you said earlier, Filipino. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help the country at all. We've seen other states try and use similar policies like Florida, and we saw how it drove so many workers out of the state and how it affected that state's economy. They couldn't build houses for months. And you had people who had no idea what they're doing up there. These people work their entire lives in these jobs. They know what they're doing. And
let me ask you one last thing. As a first-time voter, you just turned 18 in a couple of months ago, you told me. Do you see this election as one that will affect your future, maybe for the rest of your life?
Of course. If policies that Trump endorses, if he becomes president and those policies become to fruition, they'll affect me for the rest of my life. He treats the country like a business, and he has how many failed businesses? And if the country happens to be one of his failed businesses, that affects everyone. They can't get food. The job market's already crazy. People aren't getting hired.
Antonio, we got to wrap it up for time, but thank you very much for speaking with us today. Very much appreciate that. Thank you, Antonio. So that's the voice of one of the young new voters here in swing state Arizona, and we'll be talking to more of them as the day goes on. But for now, back to you, Sammy.
Thanks so much, Rob Reynolds in Tempe, Arizona, for us. Now, there are seven states to look out for, swing states that could determine the outcome of the race for the White House. The system to choose a president is based on what's called the Electoral College, as Cyril Vanier explains now.
In most democracies, elections are pretty simple. Voters vote, the candidate with the most votes wins, or the party with the most votes wins and appoints its leader to govern. But that is not how it works in the United States. Instead of voting directly for a president, Americans pick their leader through what is known as the Electoral College. And every 4 years, we have to remind ourselves of how that actually works. So here goes. There are 538 electors, or Electoral College voters, representing all 50 U.S. states plus Washington, D.C. These are people that are appointed by the political parties. A candidate needs half of that plus one to win the presidency. That's 270 electoral votes. That is the key number. What Americans are really voting for is their state electors. the group of people who will vote for the president on their behalf. States have electors based on their population size. So look at this. Take a big state like California. This year it has 54 votes in the Electoral College. Texas has 40. Remember, you need 270 to win, so that's a big chunk. Small states, on the other hand, like Wyoming, like Vermont, have just 3 votes each. Most states have a winner-take-all policy. Electors are chosen based on who wins the state's popular vote. Let's take an example. Let's take Texas. Huge state, big population. In 2020, 5.8 million voters chose Donald Trump. More than 5.2 million people chose Joe Biden. Because Texas is winner-takes-all, those millions of votes for Biden did not matter. Trump won all 38 electoral votes. Biden got nothing out of Texas. One other thing to note, every state has to have at least 3 electoral votes, regardless of population size. And this means small states are hugely overrepresented in the Electoral College. Example, Wyoming has 1 elector for roughly every 142,000 voters. Texas, if you do the math, has 1 for around 466,000 voters. What does all of this mean? It means that throughout history, on 5 occasions, candidates who did not win the popular vote have actually ended up carrying the presidency. That includes, famously, George Bush in the 2000 presidential election, who got fewer votes than his rival Al Gore. And most recently, Donald Trump in 2016, who became president with fewer votes than Hillary Clinton. In every close election, the presidency boils down to just a handful of states. Around the country, there are 244 million people eligible to vote, yet it is these 7 yellow states, swing states here, only about 18% of the total population who ultimately decide the winner. The system of state-by-state winner-take-all contests where a candidate can win the popular vote but still lose the election is deeply unpopular. More than 6 out of 10 Americans want to see a president who wins the most national votes, but that would require changing the U.S. Constitution, which is hard to do and unlikely to happen anytime soon.
Now to some news coming out of